for the next case of Western Management.
Yes, Your Honor. Is this the next case? I'm sorry, Your
Honor. Okay, the next case is number 2012-5005, Western Management, Ivan Kovacevich and Robert Kovacevich against the United States. Mr. Kovacevich, when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Bob Kovacevich. I'm pro se and, of course, also representing the other parties in this case, the attorney for the appellant. I intend to attempt to make 6 points before the court today. One is that the 6672 refund is totally allowable because the government admitted that all the tax had been paid in the relevant periods. The second is that 6521, the code section of IRS, suspends the statute of limitations under 6511, and therefore the $21,995 or whatever is a total credit against the Social Security tax because if one's barred, it's suspended in a sense forever. I intend to argue the court that that statute and then the Section 32 allowing a credit to an employee of overpaid Social Security tax eliminates any deficiency there, if there could be in this case. There's another statute, all these are IRS Section 26, Title 26, 3406H10, that credits Social Security in the same manner as wages, and there's been an overpayment here. The court's decision in Bubble Room in this court has been totally ignored, I think, by the government and even the trial court. The case, of course, states that there can't be any collection above the wages band of one individual, which is the only thing that is involved here is one person's employment taxes. And therefore, the wage base of $60,600 is largely exceeded in this case because there's only a $7,000 Social Security involved in any event. So there's all these credits eliminate any possible deficiency in this case. As the court knows, the Social Security statute is intended to help the quote employee pay his Social Security taxes. There's no withholding tax involved in this case because that's been credited and agreed upon. So all the Western Management was supposed to do is withhold and help the employee pay the tax. At page 248, the government, by letter, that's excerpts 248, admits that all the tax has been paid in this case, which it was. I was the so-called reclassified employee. I paid all the taxes with my tax return, as I do today, and there's nothing left for the Western Management to collect. As the court probably has gathered, I didn't issue myself any W-2 forms. I had two employees, still have. We filed 941 returns withheld from them. There's never any argument about that. There's a bunch of criticism as to whether I avoided taxes and all that. There is no avoidance here. It's simply the CPAs that I retained took all of the gross income I made in my law practice, included it in the income of Western Management. Western Management deducted my draws and paid income tax on the balance. Western Management always filed an 1120 return. When there was taxable income to Western Management, it was non-subchapter S. It did not pass through. And so it paid its tax, which of course we've lost. We haven't had a chance to get a refund because the time has expired. So the argument about the government not being paid here doesn't hold any water.
What time has expired for what refund?
The 1120 tax, Your Honor, the corporate income tax, it was a Schedule C. It was a taxable entity. And so when the, in 2003-161, that individual case, once tax court memo 2003, 161 or 162, my personal case, Kovacevic versus Commissioner, the court held that the income of Western Management, some $43,000, was really income of me, the individual. That would have given us a refund at the corporate tax level, 1120 return. It was too late to apply for a refund at that point. So really, and I don't want to sit here and dwell on that, but the government's ahead by some $60,000 when you look at the whole thing. So there's no manipulation on anything that is. Today I file the same way. If I may, the government has stated, which doesn't apply here, that you can have a single entity PLLC and do the same thing that I did in 94. So I want to make that point, Your Honor, because there's some inferences of taxes not paid and income not reported. The state law in 6672, or the state law of Western Management at that time, a professional corporation, does not give limited liability, and also the 100% penalty imposes a penalty on the stockholders, as the court knows, if you don't pay the withholding tax. So there can be, I submit to your honors, there can be no alter ego theory, because the government does not lose any, the government's benefit is not retained. There is no way to raise limited liability against the United States government when the 6672 penalty against the stockholders who willfully don't pay income tax can be asserted. So, and then additionally, which I will not dwell on, the alter ego law does not apply in any event, because the corporation is still solvent, it's still in business, and they've never exhausted any remedies. Plus, there was never intention to use limited liability, avoid any liabilities, for the simple reason that the we paid all the debts and paid all the taxes that Western Management had to pay, and also paid the taxes personally. And so there can't be any alter ego. The fifth thing, Hink, Supreme Court, is a precisely 6672, the 100% penalty, is a precisely drawn statute, and it precludes any counterclaim in the Court of Claims of the vague statute of allowing counterclaims in the Court of Federal Claims. Hink clearly applies. And lastly, Tohono O'odham bars the counterclaim, since the collection action against by me personally, 2009-160, that's tax court memo 2009-160, was pending when the counterclaim was filed. The counterclaim seeks to collect taxes, which really is not within the jurisdiction of the Court of Federal Claims. And additionally, and the last point is, the two cases in 1994, one by Western Management in the United States Tax Court, the other one by myself, it's 2003-160 and 162. Both of those cases involve our alter ego. They also involve the same periods. And so, as a result of the personal case, I paid all those taxes. So why in the world does the government continue to want me to pay in 2010? How in the world can I go back to 1994, now some 18 years, and get a refund? It's impossible. The government hasn't suffered. So this claim is way, way too late. There's a 10-year statute, there's three-year statutes, it's totally barred.
But if Tohono bars the counterclaim, why doesn't it also bar the claim?
What do I get by the claim, Your Honor?
No, why doesn't Tohono, since it bars the counterclaim, as you have argued, why doesn't it also bar the claim?
The claim, Your Honor, is we've paid on the 100% penalty, the taxes, withholding taxes, or the Social Security that the government claims was owed. So we paid four checks. And
But aren't the operative facts, the language of Tohono O'odham, the same?
No, Your Honor, because the operative facts of 6672 is whether you willfully failed to pay taxes withheld from an employee and paid it over to the government. There can be no willfulness here because I already paid the tax with my own personal return. The Tohono O'odham argument, the operative facts there would just be collection. There has nothing to do with willfulness or any other matter. So the operative facts are different. Willfulness has nothing to do with the tax collection in 2009-160. That's merely whether due process was furnished by the Internal Revenue Service in collection. It has nothing to do with the facts of whether or not there was willfulness and of not paying the corporation's withheld taxes. So I think the facts, total operative facts to prove either one are totally different. All you would prove in the due process case in the tax court would be that the payment wasn't made. In the 6672, you must prove willfulness. I've tried many of those cases, Your Honor, some before juries. The key thing is, did you willfully not pay over the taxes to the government that you withheld? Operative facts are totally different. I would like...
Do you want to use your rebuttal time? Are there additional arguments you wish to present?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Say, we're into your rebuttal time. Do you wish to continue? You may.
Thank you very much for reminding me.
Let's hear from the government and we'll save your rebuttal. Ms. Briggs.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to start by addressing...
Let me start with you. Okay. Let's assume you win on the alter ego theory. Okay. What Mr. Kovacevic is saying is, look, I paid self-employment tax. You determined that Western owed employment taxes, and why don't I get a credit for the amount that I paid as an individual? I don't think your brief does a very good job of explaining that, and he relies on 6521, which isn't even cited in your brief. So why is he wrong about 6521 entitling him to an offset for the amount that he, the Social Security tax, the self-employment tax that he paid as an individual?
Okay, I think there are two separate questions involved in your one question or separate question. And the first is the 6521 issue. And the reason it's not addressed in our brief is that he did not clearly articulate that argument in his opening brief.
Well, he does cite it and does rely on it. Read it as...
The 6511... So
don't interrupt.
But, I'm sorry.
He does cite the section. He does rely on it. And you admittedly don't respond to it. So that's unfortunate. What is the response to it?
This is an issue he's raised in all these previous cases, which is, I think, the second issue that I'll get to. So this is the check that was paid in 1991. So under 6111, that's clearly out of time, beyond the three-year look-back period.
I'm not understanding what you're saying. This has nothing to do, as I understand it, with how the checks were credited. He's saying, look, I paid Social Security self-employment tax, and you're now saying it should have been paid by the corporation because I was an employee of the corporation. But if that's true, I'm entitled to a credit for the amount of self-employment tax that I paid, because if the corporation was liable for the tax, I wasn't. And he says that 6521 entitles him to an offset.
Okay.
What's the answer?
So, again, I need to separate that out into the 6521 issue and the issue that this is not a wash. The reason that there is a problem understanding, I think, Mr. Kovacevic's argument is that he has failed to accept that it's not a wash here. It could be a wash in other contexts.
I have no idea what you're saying.
So if he correctly, as Judge Holmes said in the CDP proceeding, if, as Mr. Kovacevic represented, he did pay the correct amount of employment taxes himself as a self-employed individual, and then the determination was made that, no, in fact, he was an employee of Western Management.
He is not getting credit for the amount that he paid as an individual, correct?
He is getting credit for the amount he paid as an individual.
How is he getting credit for the amount?
The problem here is that he was underreporting his income, that Western Management was not given the 530, it's a safe harbor provision, that allowed, if you correctly report income that applies to a self-employed person that's considered an independent contractor on your returns, issue the 1099, do all those things.
No, but just explain to me. I don't know. You say he got credit for the amount he paid in self-employment tax. Where was it credited and when? And I don't understand.
Okay. So I'm trying to set this up. He was credited his individual.
When?
Okay. So first of all, the records for the 1991 check, the tax years at issue, that the Court of Federal Claims never looked at all those crediting amounts because it dismissed the claim because of statute of limitations problems. 6521 doesn't apply. It only applies when the tax year is open for those tax years and the employee can no longer get the credit.
Wait,
he doesn't
wait,
even
wait,
allege.
Wait, don't. You first said he did get credit for it. Now you're saying that 6521 doesn't apply. I understand the second argument. What's the basis for the first argument? You said he got credit for the self-employment tax that he paid. Where and when did he get the credit?
He got credit for the self-employment taxes because he was under-reporting because of the way this worked. Mr. Kovacevich was under-reporting his income every year. So those are Schedule A taxes. Your self-employment taxes show up as Schedule A. You get deductions there. So when there he was under-reporting his income, the self-employment taxes are being credited towards his income tax liability. So he's getting credit there.
Okay, I understand the theory. Where do I find that in the record, that he got that
credit?
It's
not in the record in this case, because in the Court of Federal Claims, this claim was not very clearly articulated. In fact, if you look at the United States...
The claim wasn't adjudicated by the Court of Federal Claims.
It was adjudicated by...
Because it wasn't clearly adjudicated. In other words, you're relying on extra record evidence to say that he got credit for this.
I'm looking at the other opinions and all of the other opinions in this litigation. There are 14 published opinions at least.
Well, so
in this
which
case.
Opinion says that
so
he
if
got
you,
credit?
So if you look at, I think the one that would help, the series of cases that would help best explain those tax years and what was going on are the Western Management cases from 91 to 93 in the court for the 91 to 93 tax years in the Court of Federal Claims because it involves the 91 tax years. But if you're looking for the payment crediting, which I can show you for the 94-95 tax years that the Court of Federal Claims got to, that issue, those are clear. We can go through those. But if you're looking for the transcripts of records,
what?
They're not
clear
in there.
From what?
For 94-95?
Are you talking about self-employment tax he paid in 94 and 95?
Mm-hmm. I can go through
where
specifically.
That was adjudicated here?
94-95.
In this
Judge Firestone, this is what happened. So let's go back and explain why this isn't a wash to you from the beginning, and I'll do it with the 94-95 tax years because all of that is on the record. And I think that this is... if we go through it that way, you can understand why I agree with you, our briefs may not be clear, but the way it works out. So for 94-95, there's no question it was fully adjudicated, these employment tax issues, before Judge Foley in the tax court and before the Ninth Circuit twice,
and back on
the crediting.
And that determination was that he was an employee, Western Management should have paid the tax, Western Management is... owes so and so much, okay? But
right.
That doesn't explain where the supposed credit.
Right, and so those supposed credits come into play. You can look at Mr. Kovacevich's personal tax years 92-94, which was also litigated in front of Judge Foley in the tax court up to the Ninth Circuit and back again. Where it explained that the reason, and then Judge Holmes said this again in the CDP proceeding about the collection action for the 92 tax year, there are several reasons why it's not a wash here. And that's because, so when Western Management, when Mr. Kovacevich was reclassified.
In the Ninth Circuit case, the Ninth Circuit says, you know, you can't hold Western Management liable for the income tax withholding. And there's a passage in the first opinion that says he claims that he's entitled to this credit for the payment of the self-employment tax. We're not going to adjudicate that. His remedy is to sue for a refund assuming that statute of limitations doesn't run. That's a paraphrase. Do you disagree that that's what the Ninth Circuit said?
Well, when it was sent back on the employment tax issues, the court looked at the application of payments. And what happened was the self-employment tax, if you look at those transcripts, the self-employment tax that Mr. Kovacevic paid was applied to his income tax liability because it was 42.
Wait. I want you to start with the first Ninth Circuit decision. This is in 2006. And my understanding is Arabic numeral number 7, they address this question and they say that basically that he can sue for a refund if he wants to. Congress has provided a separate procedure by which an individual subsequently determined to be an employee of an outside entity may seek a credit or refund of self-employment taxes already paid. So in the 2006 decision, they leave that open. Show me where that issue has been adjudicated since that time.
On his personal tax year, and that is what adjudicated.
Personal tax year, what case?
So in both the tax court proceeding before Judge Foley and
which
the 92,
tax court proceeding?
The one with his, the only one that's the Kovacevic's personal claim. He explained, Judge Foley and Judge Holmes explained, the problem here is he's underreporting his income.
Where do I find that in the record?
Okay, in the record, he's underreporting the income by $42,000 a year.
Where does the record show that he got a credit?
Okay, I can do that. Just hang with me, if you'll hang on just a moment. Let me explain why it happens, and then I'll find it in the record. So what happens was Mr. Kovacevic was underreporting his income by a third every year. So the amounts that are all on Schedule A, which are his self-employment tax, are being applied to his income tax liability.
I understand the theory. Where does it say that he got it?
Okay, we can let me find that for you, Your Honor. If I can find the page number. Okay, the calculations are not in the court's opinion, as you noted. Let me see if I can find where it is in the record in the calculations, because when we find these tables, you can see where when the service is issuing the notices of deficiency, they're applying those amounts because they're all on Schedule A.
It's absolutely beyond me why you did not address this question in the brief, and that we have to address it here at the oral argument when you're fumbling around to find where the answer is.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. If you would like us to submit a supplemental on this and give you the page numbers and where it is in the record, I can do that, Your Honor. I apologize for the government's brief. I'm here to argue the case. I did not draft it. We can add whatever additional information you would like on this point.
I think having supplemental briefing from both parties on this would make sense. You say that they got the credit. Show us where in the record.
Okay, we can do that. Absolutely, Your Honor.
Don't interrupt me. You can show us where in the record the credit is established, and then Mr. Kovacevic can respond to that.
And when you put your arguments together, send them to Mr. Kovacevic so that his response then can reach us at the same time as we receive your position. And let's set a time. Is 2 weeks enough time? More than enough?
The briefing attorney will be writing it. I'm sure 2 weeks will be more than adequate time for her to do it.
All right, the sooner the better. Well, it's
okay, 2 weeks.
Minds.
Okay.
Kovacevic will have how long to respond?
Well, I think if you send it to Mr. Kovacevic, let's say 10 days, And then with another, how much time, 5-6 days to pull together your response and then send everything to us concurrently. Does that make sense? Or better still, I think better still, file your response to us within 10 days and then if you would respond within a week thereafter, we would...
Your Honor, pretty difficult schedule. If I may please have 10 days.
Okay. Yes, you may.
Thank you.
All right, so that within 20 days from now, we'll have whatever you both want to tell us about this section. Okay.
Yes, Your Honor, and again, I apologize. As far as the 6672 liability, we're not asserting 6672 liability against Mr. Kovacevic for unpaid trust fund taxes in this case. This is the non-trust fund portion that, as the letter establishes, it's in the record, we determined based on his payments of self-employment tax that the trust fund portion, the portion that should have been withheld by the employer but was not here, was fully paid. It's the portion here that's at issue in the alter ego case is the employer's portion.
So, assuming that we were to conclude that he didn't get a credit for the self-employment tax payments, is he entitled now to a credit of those under 6521? Do you have an argument as to why he wouldn't be entitled to a credit now if he didn't get one before?
Well, 6521 only applies, 6511, which is the overall statute, is a very drop-dead time limitation. Here, 6521 only applies when it's still open, the employer's classification. Here, there's no reason he waited till now when this check was paid in 1991 and the determination was made many years ago that he was an employee those years rather than a individual.
Well, I'm not understanding what you're saying. I think your letter better address the legal question of whether 6521 applies here now, assuming that he didn't get a credit before.
The answer, Your Honor, is it doesn't apply. It doesn't leave the statute of limitation open forever. It only does in cases where there's still an open question of whether the individual is an employee or...
Is that argument in your brief?
It's not in our brief because he didn't raise it in our opening brief. He did not raise it clearly in a way that we understood it to be articulated in his opening brief.
I think it would be helpful then to include that argument in your authority for that position.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Do you have any further questions? Would you like me to address the jurisdiction issue? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honors. I think the issue is raised at page 27 of my opening brief. And no, the credit has not been given. The government's right in that the trust fund is on the 50% of the withheld Social Security, but the self-employment tax is the whole 100%, 15.3. So I pay the self-employment both halves, if you will. So there's a credit of the total Social Security paid by self-employment against the one half. So there's only about, at the most, $2,600 could possibly be payable if I earned the maximum. The government also complains that I didn't pay my Social Security tax. When the Western Management became a regular non-professional corporation, the three-year rule applied and I took all of that income of the loan into my personal income. The government hasn't suffered. It doesn't have any bearing on this case, but I'll represent to your honors that there has never been any crediting of all the Social Security that the government has received, including the 100% penalties that I paid, to my Social Security earnings. So the government's a trustee. This is a little different than an income tax case. I've never received $1 of credit for some $60,000 that I've already paid. So I don't want to have the government indicate that the government's a victim here. At page 250, Your Honors, of the excerpts, I attach the letter from the Internal Revenue Service that says, our determination, they have trouble with the dragon, it says ARE determination, should be OUR, is that you're relieved of liability because the subject tax has been paid. all of the quarters that are involved here are listed. So there's crediting that's totally allowed. Your Honor is, of course, correct of what the Ninth Circuit said. They said, we'll affirm provided you give the credits. I can represent to the court that the last go-around, I wrote to the Department of Justice and said, well, you promised to apply the credits. You haven't done that yet. And she said, well, and this is, I can furnish both the record and the letter. I contacted the Internal Revenue Service. They are not going to allow the credits. That's why I'm in back in tax court saying you didn't give me the credits on the Social Security, and therefore there is not due process. So, no, I don't want to...
What do you mean you're back in the tax court?
Under a payment by Western Management,
no, what do you
Your
mean
Honor,
back in the tax court?
The tax court allows, as jurisdiction...
Is there another proceeding pending in the tax court?
Yes, Your Honor. On the years subsequent here, where the Western Management judgment was affirmed, and so I said, well, wait a minute, the Ninth Circuit said give credits against this deficiency. We're talking Western Management, Your Honor. And the Justice Department and Internal Revenue have not done that. So I'm going into the tax court again saying the amount has not been given credit, therefore you cannot collect. The tax court has jurisdiction to determine whether the Internal Revenue Service collection...
Are those different years than involved? Or
later years, yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
But isn't it the same amount of money that you're seeking? I mean,
they're seeking the same gross amount. Now...
But the credit, the amount that you're seeking here, the numbers that you calculate from the years at issue, that's the same. Is that the same?
Same theory, that's right, Your Honor.
Same theory, but different
Yeah, different payments. Years, later years.
Different payments.
Different payments, different years. But they still won't allow the credits, and I apologize for being repetitive. So I, as attorney...
What's the status of the tax court proceeding?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
What's the status of that tax court
It's just the answers have been furnished. It won't be tried probably for 6 months to a year, so it's if it's not settled, it's probably a year away from decision.
And is that you're basing that on 6521 or some other theory?
6521, yes, Your Honor, and 340810, which allows credits of all tax credits, defining that the same as wages. And so again, 350610, I think maybe I miscited that. It's in the, if I may, I think it's important to give the right citation.
And so is it fair to say that the argument and argument as to why Tohono doesn't apply is because these are different tax treaties?
Yes. It's 3406H10. I misquoted it. That's an Internal Revenue Service, which is in the briefs, allowing credits of anything that is supposed to be withheld against any tax deficiency.
Let me just, I hate to be redundant, but just to be absolutely clear, if you were to prevail on every argument you make before this other proceeding in the tax court, would you still be claiming in this venue that there are additional credits that are covered by that that ought to be preserved for purposes of these calculations?
Yes, I would still be claiming in this court, Your Honor, because the years are different, if I understood your question correctly. And this whole thing started from the fact that I was held to be a statutory employee, which there is no such. I was clearly an independent contractor. And this all should have been eliminated years ago. I handle a lot of these cases, and my lawyer friends say, well, you're not paranoid, they are after you. I testified before Senate committees and blah, 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 which had nothing to do with this case. But this, once you isolate, and in the brief, which is important, the argument is made that the payments that I made under the 100% penalty were credited to Western Management.
Well, just to be clear, for the different years, you have no tax court decision relating to the years that are now before us. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. It's only a later series of years and quarters.
Post-94, post-95?
No, not even close. I think it's 99 on. I could be off, but it's subsequent years. There's no doubt in my mind.
Okay, all right.
Regarding,
I think we have the case.
Am I over my time, Your Honor?
Well,
thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you both. The case is taken under submission, and we look forward to your further submission.